Please turn with me here tonight to Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter 16, and then over to Mark chapter 8. I'm only going to turn to and read briefly, but start with Matthew chapter 16. And I want to preach a message here that I did preach or deal with, but in a different way, but a similar theme that I dealt with 6 or 7 years ago in a church that I'd preached in more than 100 times. And I preached this message under the title, Opposition of the Word of God. And it was the last time I ever preached in that church. That message was enough to end my time there. But I hope that won't be so here and in this church. So I'm preaching the same theme with the same points and the same scriptures. But I'm preaching it under a different title and as a part of our series on the Word of God. My message tonight, and it's part 18 of our series on the Word of God. This is my message tonight. And listen to this simple title that we've got tonight. Three kinds of leaven. Or let me give a fuller title to this message. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and of Herod. Reading from Matthew chapter 16 and verse 1 tonight. And it says there, and the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempted, desired him, that is Christ, that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be given unto it. No sign shall be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas, or Jonah. And he left them and he departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto him, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And then turning over just briefly to read one or two verses in Mark chapter 8, Mark chapter 8 verse 14. And it says, now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than 1 loaf. And he charged them saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Let's pray tonight as we come to this message. Father, I do thank you for these messages, this series on the Word of God to show us the uniqueness and the preciousness and the power and the reliability of the Word of God, that it's true. Nor God, this Word that you gave by holy prophets and men of old and apostles in the New Testament, nor God, that it was perfectly inspired and handed down to us, preserved by the Holy Ghost. And Lord God, I do pray pray tonight, give us another warning, a clear warning to beware, Lord God, of those that handle the word of God. Father, I do thank you for the truth of God and the kingdom of God and the gospel of God, that it is like leaven that spreads fast, O God, that can affect a community and a society. But Lord God, make us so aware of the false teachings of false teachers and apostles, the danger of it and the seriousness of it. And even tonight, in Jesus' mighty name, we bless you and glorify you. Amen. My message, three kinds of leaven. Here tonight I want to deal very specifically, and these are my three points: the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of the Sadducees, and the leaven of Herod. I get my points straight from the Holy Spirit, from the Word of God, and from the person of Christ. He has given us this message very clearly in these three points, and I want to preach on them, because Christ gives a warning here. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and of Herod. In Mark chapter 16 and Mark chapter 8, it is the same incident. The verses I read from in two different Gospels are about the same time and the same situation. They happened on the same occasion. Yet in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus warns about the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of the Sadducees. But in Mark chapter 8, he warns about the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. So we see that although in the two Gospels there is a difference, it happened at the same time. And he didn't just warn about two groups of people, but he warned about three groups of people. In both times he warns about the Pharisees, but in one Gospel he warns about the Sadducees as well, and in the other he warns about Herod. When we come to the Bible in the Old Testament, we read about leaven, and I'm going to explain what leaven is, what it is literally and physically in our lives, but also what it is spiritually. Leaven in the Old Testament is mentioned 22 times. There's an entire teaching in the New Testament about leaven. But also leaven is mentioned in the New Testament 15 distinct times. And that's going to be our message tonight. Also, we read in the Bible about unleavened bread, or bread that has no leaven within it. In the Old Testament, unleavened bread is mentioned 51 times. Bread that has no leaven in it whatsoever. And over into the New Testament, unleavened bread is mentioned 9 times. And that is bread that does not have any leaven within it. We know that all teaching in the New Testament actually is built on the teaching of the Old Testament. And when we go to the Old Testament, we read that leaven is almost always, but not quite always, but almost always a symbol of evil, or of what is wrong, or a bad influence. That's what it is in the Old Testament. And we read in the Old Testament that each Passover season, and that was the greatest celebration in the annual festivities of the Jews in the Old Testament. Coming up to every Passover, the Jews had to remove all leaven from their dwellings. The wife of the house and the family members literally had to get the brush and the broom out. They had to go under every bed. They had to go in every cupboard, inside every drawer, under every single object in the house. They literally had to make sure no leaven was in that house. They cleaned it from top to bottom, inside out, inside everything, outside everything, under everything. This was a very serious thing amongst the Jews. That entire house had to be clear of leaven. No leaven must be in the house as they approach and celebrate the Feast of Passover. It was such a serious thing. And we read of that in Exodus chapter 12, verse 18 to 20 in the Old Testament. But going a bit further in the Old Testament, we read that leaven was not allowed with any of the offerings that Israel made in the temple or in the local synagogue. No leaven in anything that they gave to the house of God. Whatever you bring into the house of God to offer to God and to give to the body of believers, there must be no leaven within it. And when we look at the teaching in the Old Testament, we see how serious it is to have leaven, either in your home or to bring into the house of God. It is utterly forbidden. And in fact, in Exodus 23, we have a teaching about not bringing any offerings that have leaven in it. And verse 18, also in Exodus chapter 34 and 25, Leviticus 2 verse 11, and lastly Leviticus 6:17. In all these verses, we are taught in the Old Testament that you're not to offer anything that has leaven in it. What does leaven represent? Not just in the Old Testament, but in the scriptures that we are coming to tonight, where leaven is mentioned by Jesus Christ three times in the points that we're given here. What does leaven represent? First, let me explain to you what leaven is and what it does. And if you've ever cooked, and I haven't, or if you're a wife or a daughter or whatever, and you men, hope you have the same experience, but I don't, I've never used leaven. I've never baked bread in my life. I maybe never will in my entire life, but I assure you, I have baked plenty of spiritual bread in this house. This church is a house of bread, and bread always represents the Word of God. We're in a series about the Word of God here. And the Word, or the bread in the Scripture, represents the Word of God. You know, when manna was dropped in the wilderness to feed Israel, it represented the Word of God. Every day the Word of God was dropped in that wilderness, or the manna was dropped for them to eat. And I will explain about leaven and the bread, or the Word of God. You see, the key here is that with leaven, you only need a little bit of it. What does a woman, and Candice was explaining this to me on the way in the car, that literally when you're making bread, that bread, if it has no leaven in it, and you prepare the dough, and you put it into the oven, and you bake it, do you know what? When you open the door, it's going to be flat. It's going to come out as flat as a pancake. That is unleavened bread. And that's what the Jews ate. And that's what they used at the Passover. And that's what the early church used in the breaking of bread. Unleavened bread. No leaven in it whatsoever. And if you have no leaven within it, it's flat. It remains flat. It won't be like bread as we think of it today. But all you need to do is take a little bit of leaven and to put it inside the dough, and that dough, that bread dough, will begin to raise up or rise, and the leaven affects everything. You see, the leaven has a dramatic and a radical effect upon dough. It changes the very nature of bread, or it changes the nature of the dough itself. And it will change its whole appearance, its whole substance. Leaven has the power to change, both naturally and spiritually. Do you hear what I'm saying here? If you put leaven within bread dough, it will change its character. It won't be the same after leaven goes within it. Even its appearance changes, so that the loaf is full of hot air. When you see a loaf come out, or you buy a loaf, do you know really all it is filled with hot air? That leaven has filled it with hot air, and it has an appearance of having more substance than it actually does in reality. That's what leaven actually does to the bread dough. Yeast is the secret to making bread rise. When added to a lump of bread dough, the yeast begins to ferment the starches within the bread dough, and it begins to cause it to increase in size. Otherwise, it would be flat, unleavened, or listen to this, unaffected by any outward source. That's why unleavened bread was a picture or a symbol of the Word of God. No effect on it. No influence of this world upon it. No corrupting influence. It just remained flat, the way it was meant to be. And yet when you add dough, everything changes within it. Let me summarize this for you. I'm going to lead you into a spiritual message. I'm going to explain to you what Jesus was actually saying to the disciples here. Listen again as I define this. What is leaven? Let me give you several points about leaven. You only need a little bit of leaven, a small tiny bit of leaven, to affect the entire dough. Only a little bit of leaven has a big effect. Do you hear me? Yep. Whether for good or evil, only a little bit of leaven. That's why Jesus warns about leaven. Because if you tolerate a little bit of leaven, if you ignore a little bit of leaven, if you excuse a little bit of leaven, it has a big impact. You may say it's such a little thing, such a small thing. It's of no consequence. I can afford to ignore it. No, you cannot. It's small. But you know what? Its influence is remarkable. That's the first thing. Only a little bit of leaven is needed. Secondly, it's hidden within the bread dough. You don't drop it on top. You don't sprinkle it on the bread dough. What do? You hide it right in the midst of the bread dough. In other words, when Christ warns about the leaven of these men, do you know what he's saying? That it's been hidden within the Word of God. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Herodians have actually hidden their leaven within the Word of God. They have pressed the leaven inside bread dough, spiritual bread dough, the Word of God, the Old Testament scriptures, and they have hidden it deep within, unseen to the naked eye, but yet it's working inside the Word of God to have an effect. Thirdly, it spreads very quickly. Candace was just telling me, You put the leaven inside the bread dough. You leave it overnight, and by the morning it's had its effect. One night, just ignore it for one night, one gathering, one week, and it has its effect. It spreads very quickly. It never is an isolated thing. If it's in the bread dough, it'll spread through all the bread dough. It'll affect every single doctrine. Fourthly, it has a life of its own. You may have the leaven before it goes in the bread. It looks harmless. It looks simple. It looks small. But do you know that leaven, this is its nature. It has a life of its own. It has a DNA of its own. It can lie for months by itself, having no effect. But once added to the Word of God, it has a remarkable, powerful influence. There is a life within leaven that affects the bread of God, the Word of God. If you allow leaven into the Word of God, though it seems to have no power, no life of its own self, as soon as it comes in touch with the Word of God, you very quickly realize it has a growing power. It has a life. It has an influence. You can actually possess a bit of leaven and preserve it dry for months, and it has no effect on anything. It doesn't do anything. It just sits there, seemingly harmless. But just add it to that bread dough, and you're going to see something. Fifth of all, it influences everything it touches. You can't allow anything to touch leaven unless you want it to change or be affected. The bread dough does not change the leaven. The leaven affects the bread dough. It literally permeates everything. If you put it in the edge of your bread dough, it spreads through the entire bread dough. It permeates the entire thing. So if you have leaven in a church, it won't just stay in an individual. It's going to spread through that entire church. If we tolerate the leaven that God warns us to cast out or to purge out of our midst, if we ignore it, it will spread. It won't stay isolated. This is the very nature of it. It has the extraordinary ability to grow at a fast rate and to spread to the next person, or to spread quickly. That's why we must watch. Leaven leavens everything. You put it into a part of the bread, but it leavens everything. Everything gets leaven. So what does leaven spiritually represent? Leaven, as Jesus talks about it in the Gospels, leaven represents teachings. You say, prove it. Okay, I will. In Matthew chapter 16, he actually says that. He actually explains to them where we actually read in chapter 16, verse 12, then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. What's he saying? When he uses the word leaven, he's talking about doctrine. In other words, teaching, instruction, or what you learn from teachers. Men, women who are actually passing on teachings. So what does leaven represent? It represents teachings, doctrine. It represents those things that are laid out. And when that leaven gets inside the true written word of God, it has an influence. Listen to me. When leaven comes into a church, gets into the teaching of the word, or begins to have an effect on an individual, that leaven of the Pharisees, Sadducees, and Herodians, it begins to have an effect on an individual, an influence upon them. It begins to change them or to shape them. It affects their entire lives. It affects their thinking, their convictions, their beliefs, their actions, their words. It actually begins to, it's a teaching. But that leaven, when it comes in, because it's foreign to the Word of God, it is not the pure Word of God. It is not the unleavened Word of God. It is something foreign from the outside. And it so affects the Word of God that you have received that it changes your entire life. That's why Jesus Christ himself gives such a strong warning about the leaven of false teaching and false teachers, because it is the power to change your whole life. And we know the Word of God has the power to change your life in a good sense. But listen to me, just as the Word of God preached by a man of God in a pure way has the power to affect you, so leaven introduced into the Word of God, hidden within it, unseen to the naked eye, has the ability to change your whole life. That's why we need to be cautious about what we believe and what we hear, because it can affect our whole life. What does Jesus say here in Matthew 16? Notice the two warnings he gives. First of all, he says, take heed. Secondly, he says, beware. These are two different warnings about the leaven that can come through teaching. First of all, notice this. He says, take heed to the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Take heed. Notice what that means. It means to stare at, or to gaze, or to discern clearly, to attend to, or to investigate. Have you ever heard in the church where people say, all you need to know is the real. All you need to do is study the Bible. All you need to do is know the real Christ and you'll know the false Christ. It sounds so right, doesn't it? But it's utterly wrong. You see, what's Jesus saying here? He's actually saying, take heed to the leaven of the Pharisees. I don't just want you to study the truth or the real gospel. Jesus didn't say it's enough to know the real and you'll always know the false. He never said that. He actually gives a warning here and he says, I'm telling you to take heed to the false. In other words, you need to stare at the leaven, the doctrine of the Pharisees, the Sadducees and the Herodians. You need to stare at it, gaze at it, discern it. You need to investigate it. Secondly, he said, beware of these things. What does the word beware mean? It means to hold the mind towards. It means to pay attention to. Be cautious about. Apply yourself to. Give attendance to. Or to have understanding. In other words, Jesus was saying, do not be ignorant. He says, be informed or keep in your mind. Do you realize here tonight that you're meant to understand false doctrine? You are meant to understand it. You're meant to give time to go, I not only know the real, I know the false. I know what is wrong. I know what is heresy. People, good intention with, it sounds very spiritual, say, you don't need to know about the false gospels. You don't need to study the prosperity gospel. Or you don't need to study what's wrong. Or you don't need to warn about what is wrong. That's rubbish. What did Jesus say? He actually commanded his own disciples, take heed, beware. He says, keep in mind, study, investigate. I want you to know what the leaven of the Pharisees is. I want you to investigate the leaven of the Sadducees. I want you to understand the leaven of the Herodians. And you know what? This wasn't only for the first century and the first believers and the first church. It's for you in the 21st century, and these three leavens are still in the church, and they are still in our world, and we face them in this church, and every church is going to face them at some point or other. But Christ says, I want you to investigate. I want you to understand them, and I want you to be very careful of them. They are very dangerous. You see, when you realize something's dangerous, you avoid it. If you don't know anything about poison, if you see the sign for poison, if you have no concept what poison is, what it can do to you, how it can kill you, how dangerous it is, if you have no concept, do you know what? You are very vulnerable. A child that has no understanding, no experience of life, no knowledge of these things. Do you know what? They have been known before to go under a kitchen counter and to take a bottle with poison written on it and to drink it and to either kill themselves or damage their own physical body. You know why? They had no concept of the danger of poison. And when they saw poison, it meant nothing to them. Saints, when you realize what the leaven of the Pharisees is, you will treat it like poison. When you realize the doctrine of the Pharisees and of Herod, you will treat it like poison. Let me go to this now. First of all, the leaven of the Pharisees. This is my first point. The leaven of the Pharisees. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 6, notice what Jesus says. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Then down in verse 12, he actually explains, what is this leaven of the Pharisees? It is the doctrine of the Pharisees. When he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, these were men in the city of Jerusalem. They were scattered out across Israel. They were men who studied the Old Testament scripture. In other words, all three of these groups were people who had something to do with the Word of God, the Bible, the written scriptures. In other words, they had it. They held it. They spoke about it. They taught the Word of God. They shared about it. They quizzed. They held conversations. All three groups are centered around the Bible, the Word of God. And notice this first group, the Pharisees. They taught the Word of God. They actually had doctrine. They had teaching. And they held to the written scriptures. But notice another scripture. Listen to this carefully. In Mark chapter 8, verse 15. And Jesus charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. In Luke chapter 12, verse 1, Jesus goes further and he says, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees. And he explains, what is it? What is this leaven of the Pharisees that's so dangerous that we've got to know, we've got to understand, and we've got to realize is dangerous? You see, certain churches, certain teachings can come in that are foreign to the Word of God and dangerous. They will change who you are. They can change a church. They can change your life. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, 1, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. What is the leaven of the Pharisees? It is Hypocrisy. What is hypocrisy? It is an outward show. It is being an actor. It is putting on an outward performance. In other words, it's not real in your life. It's not real in your heart. But you put on an actor. You put on the right words. You speak about these things. You say many things that are true. But it is not real in your own life. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus goes further in verse 2, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. This is leaven. It's hidden, it's covered. Neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Do you realize that Pharisees believed the Old Testament scripture? 39 books, they had received it. They believed it. They believed it was inspired. They believed it was authoritative. They believed it was perfect. They believed that God gave it. They believed in the miracles. They believed in God intervening. They believed that God spoke by the prophets. They believed all this. They believed in the Genesis account. They believed the earth was created in 6 days. And then God rested on the seventh day. They believed in the commandments. They believed in obedience. They believed in following the word of God and molding your life according to the word of God. They created in around the word of God a system of laws. In fact, they taught that there's 613 laws that you're to keep. 365 are negative commands. 248 are positive commands. So around the Old Testament scripture, they began to create this formula. But do you know what? Do you know where the Pharisees first come from? Most say that the Pharisees began with Ezra and the restoration of Jerusalem, and they were a group of believers that rose up, of teachers, of Puritans, of separatist believers who gathered around Ezra, who believed in the power of God's word. Remember what I said about Ezra in Psalm 119? Ezra was a man who loved the word of God and preached the word of God and taught the word of God. He was very zealous that the word of God was authoritative and it was perfect. Ezra was a man of the book. And you know what? The Pharisees, that's where they originated. They were Puritans. They were puritanical. They were strict. They were literalists of the Bible. They held the word of God. But you know what? Over the next 300 years, they begin to allow leaven to come in. That's why Jesus warns about the leaven of the Pharisees. Look at them. They were purists. They were holy. They were strict. They kept the commandments. They didn't reject the Ten Commandments. They added to the commandments. They rejected, but with time, and in the time of Christ, they began to reject the full authority of God's word. Theologically, they believed in it. Theologically, they said, we believe it's God's word, inspired, given authoritatively. But you know what? They started to add their own commandments and to create a tradition over 300 years that they added to the word of God. Their traditions became as authoritative as the word of God. They began to practice things that the word of God did not allow them to practice. And they observed the traditions of the elders. They always talk in the Gospels, we keep the tradition of the elders. In other words, an oral tradition about the word of God. We have been taught by a whole movement from the days of Moses. We have an oral tradition, not written down, but passed on to us in the synagogue that tells us what to believe and how to believe. Their righteousness, though strict in its type, was merely outward. Do you see what happened over many years? They started well, but they didn't finish well. Their religion became an outward religion, a thing of laws and legislation. consisting mainly in outward ceremony, in practice, in ritual. They actually give great time to saying, we even tithe the mint, you know, little seeds. And they would be there chopping it up. One for you, nine for us, one seed for you, Lord. Then counting off their own nine seeds. Oh, they tithed. They did believe in tithing. They were strict tithing, but they weren't careful about mercy. They weren't careful about judgment. And yet here they are counting out their seeds. And yet they weren't careful over the weighty things, the more important things. Jesus actually says in Mark chapter 2 verse 16, he speaks about the scribes of the Pharisees. Who were they? They were scholars. They studied the word of God. They were theologians. You know, amongst the Pharisees there are many great men. Saul of Tarsus was a Pharisee. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. There are many Pharisees. Some of them were great men and good men. Others were scoundrels. They were, and often Jesus talks about them being those that were merely after money. Listen in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 3. It says, and Jesus speaking to his disciples about the Pharisees, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not after their works, for they say and they do not. In other words, what the Pharisees usually tell you, you should actually do. Their teaching is often good. In fact, it's according to the written scriptures. They are purists. They are literalists. They are Bible men. But Jesus says, do what they say, but don't do what they do. Don't follow their example. He says, they preach well, but they don't practice well. If only they would practice what they preach, they would be remarkable Puritans. But Jesus told his disciples, they preach many sermons, you can follow it. They preach many things, teach many things that are good. But he goes on further, he calls them whitewashed sepulchres. Remember that. What does that mean? He says, you're painted on the outside, yet inside you're filled with dead men's bones. You're a grave. You're a place of death. And yet outside, you're beautiful. They painted the grave, the sepulchre. And yet inside, it's a place of death. There's no life on the inside. And yet it's a beautiful place to go walk your dog in around those tombs. And you say, aren't these beautiful white tombs? Yes, but it's dead. It's utterly, absolutely dead. And so Jesus calls them whitewashed sepulchres. He also says in Luke chapter 11, he says, now you Pharisees, you hypocrites, calls them hypocrites. He's not scared of. He says, you hypocrites, you make the cup and the plate, the platter, clean on the outside. Oh, it's nice and clean. You're there scrubbing it inside, on the outside. But he said, see inside, on the inside of that cup, it's full of ravening wickedness. In other words, outwardly you look wonderful. Outwardly you say you believe all the right things. Outwardly you do all the right things. Saints, do you realize why Jesus warned about the leaven of the Pharisees? And you better not let it in your bread. You better not let it in your house. We must not tolerate it in this church. Because to become merely those who are sound in doctrine and defenders of the faith and people who take the Bible literally, and yet we're hypocrites. And yet we're hypocrites and we do not do the word of God. Do you realize that that little bit of leaven destroys the entire bread? Oh, we could teach lots of good things. It utterly destroys the word of God. You see, these Pharisees, they actually emphasized oral tradition over the written word of God. They placed them in equal authority. Then the oral tradition in other books took precedence over the written word of God. They emphasized external works. They emphasized giving money to the poor. And yet they were hypocrites. They were doing it for the wrong motive and reason. They made long prayers, and they loved to hear or loved to have people listen to them. They wore long clothes. They had titles after their name. Saints, what is the leaven of the Pharisees? It's hypocritical religion, having sound doctrine, a good Bible creed, taking the Bible literally, and yet your life is hypocritical, or you tolerate that. Somehow you create a teaching in your mind. Say, I'm a Christian. I'm born again. I believe all the right things. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. I believe his blood was shed for me. I believe in his commandments. I wouldn't change any. I believe there's a heaven and a hell. I believe all these things. And yet it doesn't affect your life. You have allowed the leaven of the Pharisees into your house. Do you know, Jesus speaks more strongly against the Pharisees than he does any sinner. He doesn't point the finger at the alcoholic or the prostitute or the atheist. He actually points the finger at the Pharisee. And he says, you have actually tolerated leaven that is more dangerous than any sin in the entire Bible. The leaven of the Pharisees is very dangerous. In fact, Jesus gives a whole list of things about the Pharisees. Listen, he gives a whole list in Luke chapter 11, verse 37 to 54. He gives another list in Matthew 23, verse 1 to 39. In Mark chapter 12, verse 35 to verse 40. And last of all, in Luke 20, verse 45 to 47. In all these places, he gives an entire list warning who these Pharisees are, what they do. Listen to just one of these in Matthew 23 and 15. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. In other words, a Pharisee, they're looking for converts. They're trying to win people over to follow them. They're part of a movement. They hold the Bible in their hand. They said, we're preachers, we're believers, we follow the true God. We have the truth of God. And they're trying to make converts. But their type of religion, that little bit of leaven has destroyed all of their teaching. You see, a little bit of leaven has got into their pure doctrine and it's destroyed. If you allow your life to become hypocritical, you destroy the power of truth in your life in a very real way. And Jesus clashed with these Pharisees. Do you know that in this list that Jesus gives, he gives a list of 8 woes in Matthew chapter 23. 8 woes. Luke gives 6 woes. In other words, woe unto you. Woe unto you. These are the most serious warnings. So what is this leaven? It's the corrupting influence of legalism and externalism and of ritualism. In other words, you can pray and your heart isn't in it. You can preach and your life isn't what you preach. You can worship God and yet there's no laying down at the feet of Jesus Christ. It's going through the motions, the ritual. There's no passion, no fire, no holiness, no purity, no heart within it. That is the leaven of the Pharisees, and it is terrible. Destructive, and Jesus warns about it. Let's go further here. Secondly, the leaven of the Sadducees. The leaven of the Sadducees. It says in Matthew 16 and verse 6, then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So here he's warning again, not only of the leaven of the Pharisees, but the leaven of the Sadducees. Then further down, he makes clear that he's talking about the doctrine of the Sadducees. In other words, what they taught. And he's saying, I want you to take heed. I want you to beware. I want you to study the Sadducees. I want you to know what their dangers are. You see, we have taught all these weeks and months on the Word of God. The Word of God is pure. The Word of God is powerful. But you can add a little bit of leaven that changes the entire nature of the Word of God and of what you believe. What was the teaching of the Sadducees? What was their leaven that is so dangerous that you mustn't let in your life? or let in your mind. And we must not tolerate in this church that little bit of leaven that could destroy the word of God in this church. Or the leaven of the Sadducees, that if you let it in your mind, let it in your heart, it could destroy the power of God's word in your life. What is it? In Acts chapter 23 and verse 8, we have a definition of the doctrine, the teaching of the Sadducees. It says, for the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection. Do you know the Sadducees did not believe in a physical resurrection of the body? They did not believe in the future that we were going to be raised from the dead and reunited with a new physical body. They didn't believe that. It goes further in verse 8. It says, neither an angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. So we see that the Pharisees did believe in the resurrection, did believe in the supernatural, did believe in spirits and in angels. But the Sadducees didn't believe there was any angels. They didn't believe in spirits. They didn't believe in a spirit world. You see, they only saw this world or the natural. Again, Jesus speaking in Matthew 22 and 23. It says, the same day came to him Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection. And they asked him, here they are. Sadducees come to Jesus and they ask him questions. They don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in an afterlife. They don't believe we're going to be raised from the dead. It's only this life. This is it. I don't understand. It's like what Egla asked on Sunday. Why would these men, or maybe it was another day, but why would men ever want to be in church if they don't believe this? Why would they? Well, here's a group of them. The Sadducees were like this. They had the titles and they talked about the Word of God. They discussed the Word of God. They taught the Word of God. They taught from the Old Testament. And yet, do you know what? They didn't believe in a resurrection. They didn't believe in a spirit realm. They didn't believe that. So here they come to Jesus in Matthew 22 and they ask Jesus a question. They go, Master, what a beautiful way to approach him. Master, Moses said. Now see, the Sadducees, just explain, they only accepted the first five books of the Old Testament. They rejected all the prophets. They didn't believe in the prophets, but they did accept the first five books of Moses. They said they believed what Moses said. They said they believed what Moses taught. And they would argue from the first five books of the Old Testament. But here they are saying, Master, if a man die. Now be careful if a Sadducee comes to you and begins to say, if a man die, having no children, and then his brother marries his wife, and then his brother dies without having children, and then the third brother marries, and this keeps happening. She must have been a bad cook or put a lot of leaven into the food. I don't know. But all these seven husbands keep on dying and there's no children. And look what they ask Jesus. Master, in the resurrection, you don't believe in a resurrection. Why are you asking Jesus about the resurrection when you don't believe in it? You see, that's what religion does. It'll argue, it'll debate, it'll try and catch you out. Well, this one will catch the master out. So they go to him respectful. And they say, Master, in the resurrection, when all seven husbands are raised, who's going to be married to her? Who's going to be the real husband? Is it the first one or the last one? When they're all raised from the dead, they could care less about doctrine. They don't care about truth. They don't care about what is right. Do you know what? All they're trying to do is catch Jesus out. Be very careful of the Sadducees. See, when the Sadducees begin to come and argue like this, be very careful of letting it in your mind. Be very careful of taking it on board. You know why? It'll begin to work away and destroy your teaching, your belief in the resurrection. You see, their question about the resurrection, about these men who get raised from the dead, they don't care about that. They want to raise a question so that you walk away saying, man, who is she married to? Who is married to this lady? It's raising questions. And what they're trying to do, the leaven of the Sadducees will start to question Christian, a real resurrection. They begin to ask you questions that you don't know an answer to. Beware, be very careful. You know, when they asked Jesus questions, he always answered from the first five books of the Old Testament. Once he says, he quotes from Exodus chapter 3 and 6, and he says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. You say you believe the first five books of the Bible. You say that there's no resurrection. He says, well, your Bible, the scriptures you accept, say, I am the God of Abraham. He's alive. The God of Abraham and Abraham himself is actually alive. Be very careful of this false teaching. You see, they were silenced many times when Jesus faced them. Who are these Sadducees then? They explain away everything in the Bible naturally and scientifically. They try to explain all the miracles away, the supernatural, the unseen, the future. They begin to make it natural. In other words, there's nothing supernatural in their teaching or the gospel. Listen to what they actually denied. And this is, although they accepted the first five books, they denied the fall of Adam and Eve. They denied that men and women are born sinners. They disputed the doctrine that the sin of Adam, his sinful nature, is passed on to all of us. And they maintained that the will of man is by nature free, and he can be good if he wants, and he can be evil if he wants. Every man has a free will to be what he wants, and it doesn't depend on our fallen nature. It actually depends on our desire to be good. You can be good. You can be upright. You can be righteous. You can be moral. You see, these Sadducees were very upright people. They weren't sleeping around most of the time. They weren't liars. They just didn't believe in the supernatural work of the Word of God. They denied every miracle of the Old Testament. They denied the super intervention of God. They not only rejected the traditions of the elders held by the Pharisees, but they explained away the five books that they did accept of the Old Testament. They accepted the five books, but they explained them away. They interpreted them. They had an ethology. They had a theology that explained away Genesis all the way through, every miracle, every incident, every supernatural prayer answered. They could explain it away. And you know what? They made the Word of God of none effect, no power in it. If you allow the leaven of the Sadducees in upon you, in all this foolishness, it is in the church in our generation. The leaven of Pharisees is in the church of our day. The leaven of the Sadducees is in the church of our day. You know, for many years, I laughed the first time I heard someone explain how 2 million people crossed the Red Sea. Well, the first time I heard it, and they said, well, you need to understand the Red Sea's called the Red Sea because it was the Reed Sea, and it was only a foot deep. And that's why all 2 million could walk across it, because it wasn't a deep sea. It was only a marshland, and they were able to march right across, and they went, hey presto, I'm a born again Bible believing Christian, but I just explained to you how the miracle came. Or what about the 10 plagues in Egypt? Well, it was that time of year, and all those plagues just happened to come on those days at that time and bring Egypt to her feet. I can explain it all naturally. What a miracle. I can do all of this for you. You know what that is? It's hogwash. Yes. And I can't translate that into any other language, I can assure you. You see, they were trying to explain everything by natural means, thinking that they were super spiritual. What is the leaven of the Sadducees? It's liberalism. It's modernism. It's those Christians who say they believe in evolution. They deny Genesis 1 to 3. They don't believe in 6 literal days of creation. They don't believe God actually created Adam and Eve. They don't believe in any of this. They believe in evolution. They try to mix evolution with creation. They take the leaven of the Sadducees and they insert it into Genesis. Do you know what they do? They destroy it. They actually destroy the power of God's work. They're nice people. They believe in peacekeeping, in tolerance, in loving your neighbor. They were often rich, successful, and had good positions in life. But you know what? Their teachings were deadly. I want to warn you, the heresy of the Pharisees is dangerous. The heresy of the Sadducees is dangerous. You know what a little bit of leaven does? You start thinking on those things. Yeah. You start accepting those. They'll destroy your Bible. They'll utterly destroy it. Well, they may say, oh, I'm only asking a question. Well, I'm only asking. Well, I'm only thinking. No, you're on dangerous ground. This could destroy your faith in God. It begins with Genesis 1 and it'll end with faith in your heart where you'll deny that Jesus rose from the dead. If he couldn't create the world at the beginning, he certainly can't raise his son from the dead. But thirdly and lastly, the leaven of Herod. I didn't say the leaven of the Herodians, but the leaven of Herod. In Mark chapter 8:15, where we read at the beginning, and it says, and he charged them saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Here's Jesus thirdly, not only warning about the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of the Sadducees, but warning about the leaven of Herod. What is the leaven of Herod? It's the doctrine of Herod. I didn't know Herod had a doctrine. Oh yes. Oh yes. There is a doctrine. There is a teaching of Herod that actually is very dangerous. And it will come again. You will have to face the leaven of Herod. And if it gets inside your bread, inside your doctrine, it will destroy the bread. It'll change its nature. It will make it grow out of all recognition. Who was Herod? He was the king of Israel. He was the king of Israel. In fact, let me be more specific. He was the Roman king over Judea in Israel. In other words, the Roman government appointed Herod. Not only Herod, his entire family. Let me explain before I tell you what this is. And it's very important you know this when you read your New Testament and read the Gospels. There isn't only one Herod, there's three Herods. If you don't realize there's three Herods, you'll get confused when you read the Gospels and the New Testament. Let me give you the three Herods that appear in the New Testament. First of all, there's Herod the Great. Who was Herod the Great? He was the king of Judea, Herod the Great, who sought to kill Jesus as a child. That's the first Herod. Do you remember what actually happened? Do you remember who Herod the Great was? The wise men from the east turned up at the palace looking for the Messiah. And they said to him and all those in his palace, they said, we saw his star. And his star is in the sky. The Messiah, the King of Israel, is going to be born this night. Well, Herod was deeply disturbed and in fact angry. But you know what he said to the wise men? Listen to what Herod the Great actually said. And you begin to see what is the leaven of Herod. Listen to what he said to him. And he put on his nicest smile and his softest tone. And he says, now, when you find this king, this newborn king, will you come back here to the palace and tell me? And this is the reason that I may come and worship him also. Was he telling the truth? No, he was not. He was a wicked man. He was the most wicked of all the Herods. He was an evil dictator. He was a tyrant and he was sexually immoral. He was a bad man. I can assure you indeed. But listen to what else happened in Matthew 2. After the wise men left his palace, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, notice he's about to have a prophecy convention. And they get the Old Testament scrolls out of Daniel and of Isaiah and of Micah. Now look what he's doing. This is King Herod. I'm talking about the leaven of Herod. And he gathers this great gathering, this convention time, and he gathers the chief priests and the scribes, and they're all together. Listen to what he says. He demanded of them where Christ should be born. They're having a Bible study. They're having a convention. And it's a Herodian convention. And the leaven of Herod absolutely saturates it all. Do you know what? He could care less about Bible prophecy or the Messiah or worshiping Jesus Christ. Do you know what? He's got motives hidden in his heart. He's got an agenda. He is an ambitious man. Do you know who he is? He's a leader. He's a leader in God's nation, amongst God's people, over God's people. He is a leader over God's chosen people. And here he is. He wants to study the Bible. He wants to hear what the Bible says. He's asking questions about the Bible. But do you know what? It's all with an ambition. A selfish ambition for leadership. A selfish ambition to preserve himself in a position of leadership. The second Herod, and this is the one I'm going to concentrate on, is called Herod Antipas. When Herod the Great died, remember Jesus went down into Egypt. After Herod the Great had all the children in Nazareth killed, 2 years and younger, and then Mary and Joseph took Jesus down into Egypt. And then when they heard that Herod the Great had died, they come back again to their home. It was Herod Antipas who was the new king and who was the new leader of the nation. Who was Herod Antipas? He had John the Baptist beheaded and he had Jesus crucified. Do you see a pattern here with this Herodian doctrine? And then third of all, when Herod Antipas was put out of the nation, there was a third Herod. He's called Herod Agrippa, or the Herod of the Book of Acts. He actually killed James, the brother of John. Remember the two sons of thunder, the two brothers of thunder. He had James thrown in prison and killed. He also had Peter imprisoned in the Book of Acts, and he was going to have him killed, but an angel comes and rescues him. So here's the three Herods who reigned from before Christ was born, straight through the early history of the church, right up until almost the destruction of the temple. This was the family of Herod. But I want to concentrate on just one of them here, Herod Antipas. In the Bible, he's also called Herod Archelaus, or Herod the Tetrarch. That's all the names that he is given. In Mark chapter 6 and 20, and this is going to shock you. What is the doctrine of Herod? What is the doctrine? Okay, we know they like to study the Bible and they're interested in prophecy. Listen, Herod Antipas, listen very carefully, because Jesus says, beware the leaven of Herod. Who was he talking about? Herod Antipas. He didn't say a whole group of people. This is now specific to a particular man, not a group of men, to one man. And he says, if you look at that man, you're going to find out what the doctrine of Herod actually is. In Mark chapter 6, verse 20. And this is Herod in the time when John the Baptist is preaching and drawn crowds out of all Judea. Listen to what it says in verse 20. For Herod feared John. You remember who John the Baptist was? He came preaching. Repent. He came preaching with fire. He was a man filled with the Holy Ghost. He's a man who demanded repentance and good works to follow and good fruit to follow. What does it say about Herod? Herod actually feared him. Do you know Herod regularly went to his meetings? Herod regularly went to hear him preach. Herod actually loved him. In fact, if you were to ask Herod, who is your favorite preacher? He said, John the Baptist is my favorite preacher. Every opportunity I get out of this palace and I go out in the wilderness in my chariot with my soldiers and I love to pull the chariot up and I sit there. I believe his eyes were like saucers and his jaw was hanging down. And do you know what it says? Now notice the doctrine of Herod. Herod feared John. In other words, there was a real fear. He had a fear of John. There was something about him. He was in awe of John. He could recognize a real preacher, a man anointed of the Holy Ghost. He could recognize it. He wasn't running after the Pharisees. He wasn't running after the Sadducees. He wasn't in the temple with the high priest. He went out to see this rugged preacher and he feared him. Also, let's go further. Knowing that he was a just man and a holy man, why did he fear him? He says, because he knew he was righteous. He knew he was holy. That's why he actually feared him. He could look at John and say, he is what he preaches. I can recognize true preaching. I recognize John as a man of God, a man sent from God, who has the hand of God upon him. And further he says, and he observed him, kept a close eye on him. That's what the word means. Are you getting a picture here? He kept a close eye on him. He kept turning up to his meetings. He wanted to be there listening to the preaching. And it says, and when he heard him, he did many things. In other words, he sat there in his chariot. Do you know, he listened to much of the preaching and he actually done many things. He went away and he said, do you know what? I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And John said this and I'm going to do this. He began to do all these things. Wouldn't you think this is great to have the king of the nation come and sit here in our church and say, man, I fear you. I recognize you as a man of God. And when that king leaves our church, he goes and does many things that he heard preached in the sermon. I wish all Christians were like that. And yet Herod was like that. He left and he observed many of the things. And it says, and when he heard him, he did many things and he heard him gladly. No one had to force him to go to hear John. No one had to persuade him. He wasn't there out of fear. He gladly. He loved it. I can see him sitting in the audience with a smile, a grin on his face. He actually enjoyed the preaching of John. John was preaching fire and brimstone. And yet here is Herod sitting there saying, I love the preaching. I think he even clapped at times and said, preach on, preacher. I'm listening to your sermon. This is the leaven of Herod. But let's go further. Do you remember that John the Baptist one day when Herod come out? You see, Herod had planned to divorce his wife and to marry another lady called Herodias because he thought she was more beautiful and he was sexually attracted to her. And he'd made the decision and he married her and he went out to hear John preach. Listen to what John says in Mark chapter 6:18. For John said unto Herod, you can't get preaching more straight than this. It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. It isn't lawful. You have married your brother's wife. You actually fell in love with your brother's wife. She divorced him and you divorced your wife and you both got agreed. It is not lawful. Do you know Herod would do many things, but he wouldn't do that. You see, John warned him, this isn't allowed. You better not marry her. You better not get divorced and remarry. You better not do this or you're in trouble. You know what? He didn't listen to that thing. He would do many other things in the preaching. But the most important thing, the thing the preacher could see in his life, he wouldn't do it. And you know what? It's many people who will not obey the word of God to do lots of small things and say, I'll do this and I'll do that. And I listen and I love the word of God and I fear the preacher. I realize he's a man of God and they're willing to clap their hands. But they'll still sin. They'll still sin. This is the leaven of Herod. How evil it is. And you know the consequence. It says that Herod got angry and wanted to kill him. And his new wife Herodias, she got mad and wanted to kill him. But you know what? Herod was scared of the people. See how he fluctuates. One minute he loves the preacher, the next minute he wants to kill him. Yeah. This is the leaven of Herod. This is what it's like. So life goes on, he doesn't kill him, he still goes out to hear him preach. And then one day he had his birthday. And he had a birthday and a party and a big feast and drink was flowing. And you know what? Herodias' daughter comes out and begins to dance in a seductive manner. And he enjoys it so much. This man who used to sit under John and enjoy the preaching, is now sitting and enjoying the dance of this seductive woman. He enjoys both. He can go to both. He follows after both. And what does he say to this daughter? He says, you know what? You tell me, ask of me anything to have my kingdom and I will give it to you. He was besotted by her. He's married to the mother, but he's besotted by the daughter. Do you see what sort of man he is here? And she goes away and asks mommy. And mommy, Herodias, says, ask for the head of John the Baptist. And when she comes and asks Herod, it says he was very sad. He's very sad. But you know what? He went and had the head of John the Baptist cut off. I'm talking about something that can be in the church of our day and our generation. The very same thing. He had John the Baptist killed. And we're told that when Jesus heard this, that he went out into the wilderness. In Luke chapter 23 and 8. And when Herod, in fact it says elsewhere in the Gospels, that when Herod heard about Jesus' ministry, and the blind are seeing, and the lame are walking, and the lepers are being healed, you know what he says? John's been raised from the dead. I know. And they said, no, it's not. He said, I'm telling you, I know John the Baptist has risen from the dead. Did he believe in miracles? He believed in miracles. Did he believe in the supernatural? He did. Did he believe in the power of God's word? He did. But you know what is a moral, twisted lifestyle? He said, this man, Jesus, is John raised from the dead. Listen to what happens in Luke 23 and 8. And I'm going to finish with this. And when Herod saw Jesus, he says, I want to see this man. He was exceeding glad. So he was not only glad about seeing John the Baptist, now he is glad to see Jesus. Can you imagine this old wicked man, and when he sees Jesus, he is exceeding glad. That isn't a small bit glad. And that isn't a small, that is exceeding high. He is busting. Can you imagine him? The first time he lays eyes on Jesus and goes to hear Jesus preach. I want to hear that preacher. I want to hear that man of God. He's healing the sick. He's stirring the nation. I want to go hear him. And when he does, he is exceedingly glad. For he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him and he hoped to have seen some miracles done by him. He went there to see a miracle. He heard about him, his reputation. He knew he was a holy man and he went to the meeting to see Jesus Christ and he was exceeding glad about it. What is this leaven of Herod? You enjoy the preaching. You enjoy the preachers. You recognize the miraculous. You believe all that the Bible says. You believe it's literal. It's supernatural. There's a God in heaven, that there's a heaven and hell. The Sadducees don't believe in hell. The Sadducees don't believe in heaven or the world to come. But this man believes it all, and he's sitting in the front row. Saints, we need to beware of the leaven of Herod. They enjoy the word of God. In fact, Herod's responsible for building the temple in Jerusalem. It's Herod's temple. That's how Jesus, the disciples said, look at this great building. Jesus said, there won't be one stone left upon another. Do you know all the Herods were famous for their great buildings, their architecture. They cared about buildings and getting their name through a building. But they were dominated by sin, by lust, by anger, by the fear of man. That's what dominated their life. They were destroyed by it. And this little bit of leaven destroyed God's word in their life. What a king he could have been if he would have believed John. Or if he would have believed Jesus. He could have had an impact in the nation. But instead his heart is filled with anger. And he is driven reluctantly to take the head off the preacher. To destroy the preacher. To kill the preacher. To stop the mouth of the preacher. He loves the preaching. And yet his sin puts him in a place where he says, I gotta stop that voice. I gotta stop that preaching. Since I have seen the leaven of the Pharisees in this church in this 6 years, and of the Sadducees, and of Herod. Three times in the Gospels we read about the Herodians. Who are the Herodians? Followers of Herod. Followers of Herod. They're mentioned three times. Once in Galilee and once in Jerusalem. And all three times they're mentioned with the Pharisees. What two different groups? The Pharisees are Puritans. The Pharisees are stalwart moral men. They don't commit adultery. But you know what? The Pharisees join with the Herodians against the person of Jesus Christ. So all three times we see that the Herodians, they are going with the Pharisees to question Jesus Christ. And listen to what both groups do. They go to Jesus to ask questions. Listen, there's a quote. To entangle him in his talk, but also to catch him in his words. That's what they actually do. Who were these Herodians? They believed in the restoration of the kingdom of Israel. They didn't believe in a spiritual restoration, but a political restoration of the kingdom of David. And they wanted the next Herod to rule on the throne of David. It wasn't a spiritual kingdom of the Messiah coming that these Herodians were looking for. They wanted a physical kingdom, a natural kingdom, kingdom now, dominion now. They wanted to bring in a kingdom. And in fact, it was the Herodians who were responsible for throwing out the Romans, starting the rebellion that led to the destruction in AD 70 of their building. You see, they were building buildings. They wanted to bring in the kingdom. They wanted Herod to be on the throne. That's why they're called Herodians. They wanted this physical kingdom that spoke much about preaching and miracles and the word of God. And yet they made it a thing of this physical world, of fulfilled prophecy by natural means in the world. Saints, it's still in the church of our generation. I hope you realize that you can have a church that has the word of God. But if the leaven of the Pharisees get in, you destroy the word of God. You can preach all the sermons you want. You can have all the sound doctrine you want. You will destroy the word of God. If you allow any of this leaven in, and saints, I'm going to continue with this next week. There's so much to this and it's so important. I want us to really understand it. And we're going to go on and see. We've seen tonight Jesus warning about three kinds of leaven. But next week I'm going to go to Paul's two warnings about a little leaven and how dangerous it is in the church. And we've got to be very careful of leaven getting into the church and changing the message and changing the people of God. Let's pray together. Father, I do thank you for your word and your truth, for the warnings. Lord God, make us not only aware of the truth of God, of right doctrine, of the real Christ, but my God, I do pray that you...